just get so preoccupied, caught up in it, and have an expectancy of a certain agenda. But I believe God today has changed our agenda in this place for what He wanted, for what He has prepared for us. And it's just a time of surrender, a time of refreshing, a time of reconfiguring it. But more than that, I believe it's a re-anointing. Many times in our lives, I think we just get caught up in the momentum of things. But you know, there was no time and you look at so much of the Old Testament when David wrote the Psalms, and in the Psalms he said, with my whole heart I seek you. With my whole heart I praise you. With my whole heart. With my whole heart. Over and over and over and over again. There were so many exhortations to seek God with our whole heart. And many times we come here to do that, but I think that word God gave through me then was so relevant. Thoughts just keep, I don't know. Gee, did I turn the oven off? Or, boy, I've got to fill the car up before I go home. How many thoughts distract us and get in the way of us just being lost in God? Sometimes it's just sad. Sometimes it's thoughts and memories. Sometimes it's just things that, oh boy, we've got commitments this afternoon. We've got a family dinner. We've got this. We've got that. Oh, gee, I can't believe what so-and-so said to me yesterday. Lord God, we don't want that enveloping and covering our mind. So much of that comes under the casting down imaginations, bringing into captivity every thought. I think we need to arrest those things sometimes and say, God, I'm not allowing those things to destroy my relationship with you, to get in the way, to be a hindrance, to be a blockage, to cloud my vision of heaven and what you want to do for me. Wow. You know, I was prepared today to speak on faith as a foundation. And it's good, because so much of what we've done up here in these songs have just honored God for who He is. And in our foundation of faith, the first thing the Word says to us, or one of the major things, he that comes to God must believe that He is. He is what? He is everything I need Him to be. He is my sufficiency. He is my all in all. He is everything He says He is. Amen? I am, same thing. I am what? I am whatever you need me to be, whenever you need me to be it. He is the all-encompassing, all-existent Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God who's there for us. And so with faith we come before Him. With faith we stand before Him. And you know, often we know all of that, but do we have our whole heart encompassed in the things of God? I don't know about you, but I'm a bit like Paul when he said, the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. And he said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? We've got to deal with this nature. We've got to deal with this fallen man. And this is why Christ came, to redeem us from that fall. And He has to fight and challenge us constantly, I believe, in this very inner man that we call the heart of man. You know, the Bible even tells us the heart of man is not necessarily good, is it? It's corrupt. It's wicked. It devises evil thoughts. That's the way the scripture, and can you knock that down and keep going a bit, Mash, just please? You know, we need to ensure that we have a surrendered heart that God can deal with constantly, because, you know, you come to Him in faith and He takes us and He receives us to Himself. And I love every promise of God that's made available to us. And I love everything that the Word teaches us about God and what God says He has done for us and what He has made us to be in Him. And man, if it was like an incredible transformation that we never had another worry, problem, hassle, battle, fight, or temptation ever again, wow. But that's not where we're at. We are still dealing with a time-space world that is yet to be redeemed. We're still dealing with a situation on this planet where God is still endeavoring to change the hearts of men and women towards Himself. And not just the unregenerate, unsaved. I believe He's trying to do it in the church sometimes. Many times in the church, men's hearts are not where God wants them to be. And the church and everything is not that the answer to us, it's the Lord Jesus. You know, I think we're a privileged people that at God's invitation, we come to Him. Isn't that incredible? It's God's invitation that we're here today. It's not that we thought it was a good idea to get up and go to church. It's not a good idea that we thought, oh, you know, maybe I'll just go and worship God. No, this is God's invitation to come into His presence, to set ourselves apart, to hear Him, to seek Him, to worship Him, and for Him to manifest Himself to us in a way that changes us from glory to glory. It's part of the process that we go through, that we go on in Him. This is nothing what I had prepared. But I'm just looking at some of the things here that I can perhaps glean from, because God's taken us in such a different direction. Matthew, Jesus said, come to me. Come to me. What, all you that labor? We got the first scripture up there, Matt. And a heavy laden. And you know, I don't believe that necessarily refers to people that are constantly struggling and in poverty. I believe that refers to anybody who is in a situation where they're trying to live their life in their own strength and in their own ways. And it's a burden. It's a burden. It's a constant pressure on people of all levels of life, from the poorest to the wealthiest. In actual fact, if you look at statistics, it's amongst the wealthy that the highest suicide rates happen. And it's so sad, because they cannot depend on, rely on the things of this world. And in actual fact, the more you get, the more pressure you're under to keep what you've got so you don't lose what you've got. And people tend to have this stress about them that is just not what God intended for us. When it says their hearts are failing them for fear, it's not being afraid, it's anxiety, pressure and stress that this life brings, and they find that they just can't handle what's going on. And their hearts are turned from God. The inner man is not seeking refuge and solace in the provision of God. But God's heart, when He invites us to into His presence and makes an invitation to us to invoke Him into our lives, you know, He invites us. He says, seek me. Come to me. You know, call on me. All of the exhortations in scriptures that He brings to come are because He is making an open invitation to us. Because He wants to be involved in our lives. He wants to involve Himself in us. He wants to embrace us. But He's giving us the opportunity to say, okay, God, I receive Your invitation. And it's in everything. A lot of people quote the scripture and they know it really well. Ask and keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking, knock, keep on knocking. You know, and Jesus said, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. And I've always had that taught to me over the years as, you know, if there's something you need, just ask God. If you don't get it straight away, ask Him again. And ask and knock again and seek again, knock again and ask and knock and seek and ask and knock and seek. You know, and I'm thinking, boy, God must be pretty mean. He doesn't always answer us straight away. I had that image of God, which was a wrong image, which was painted through wrong understanding of the word, because it's an encouragement to allow God into your life every day. You ask him, you keep on asking. Not for the same thing, but today, next day, the next day. Involve God. Seek, keep on seeking. Why? When you seek God today, don't you think that's enough for tomorrow? No. God's mercies are new to us. How often? So how often do we seek God? Daily. So seek, keep on seeking. Seek, keep on seeking. Seek, keep on seeking. Lord, I don't know what I should be doing in this situation. Knock, keep on knocking. Keep going back to God. Keep going back to God. It's at his invitation that he wants us to invite him into our lives. And that's an amazing reciprocal work. Our mentality should be that we are constantly asking, knocking, and seeking all day, every day. It's a thought pattern. It's a process pattern. It's a lifestyle pattern that God has opened up to us at his invitation. I think that's incredible. I think that's amazing. But yet sometimes we get so caught up in the times of the moment and the pressures of life that we don't actually think about it too much, because our lifestyle has to change, our heart has to change to take God on board at all times. One of the scriptures that really fascinates me was when the people that were invited to be guests at the wedding, you know, in the wedding, and they didn't come. They had excuses. No, I got to do this. No. I can't do that. And so the host of the wedding, he just turned around and he said, well, hey, if they're not going to come, go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. And so people were invited to the wedding and they went out and they invited people from everywhere, from all walks of life to this wedding. Now, you know the story Jesus told. Then this guy was found in there without a garment. What fascinates me is these people weren't actually given too much notice to get to this wedding. Why was one without a garment? Why was it that this guy, how did you come in here without a garment? And he was dragged and cast out. And you know something? I started to look at that. I'm thinking, God, what's the picture here? The invite went out. People came in from the highways and the byways. Did they have garments? What was the story? Why did this guy come in? And I believe this is what God revealed to me through that, that most of them that took the invitation took it seriously and prepared themselves. One went along for the ride. Wow, this is a pretty good thing. A bit like people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And this guy thought, hey, there's a wedding on. I'm going to go in and join this party. You're a gate crasher almost. You know what I mean? No heart preparation. No saying, what's required of me to be here? What is it that I need to do to have my life right in this party scenario? And you know, I believe with what God has taken us through recently, with the teachings of Jim Simler on when God's Spirit moves, has been a preparation time for us to seek God for His Spirit to move. But His Spirit is not going to move if our hearts are not prepared. Are we serious about this? God has taken us on a journey, and I think that journey has been exciting. But as I'm seeking God and saying, God, where to next? God is saying, hey, that's just the beginning. Now there's a preparation time, a reworking of the lives of every man, woman, and child for to be prepared for my Spirit to move. Are you going to be prepared and do what you know is right? Get your wedding garment on. Get your wedding garment on. Lord, what is it? Well, I believe not only did this host of this wedding have potential there to prepare for people, maybe. But our God has provided us with garments of praise. He's provided us with robes of righteousness. He's provided us with so much. But do we adopt them? Do we put them into place? Do we embrace them? And do we practice what God wants us for our lives to be right in Him, for Him to do with us what He can do? I know He can do so much. He has given us His anointing, His Spirit. He's told us we can go out and do great exploits. He's told us we can lay hands on the sick. He's told us that we can heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. He told us those things. He said, "The things I do, you will do, and greater works than these shall you do." And I say, "God, I don't see this happening." But there's a process of preparation. Have you got your wedding garment? Are you in the right place at the right time, spiritually, physically, and whatever way it is with God, for Him to do that? Sometimes I think we just ride on the waves of emotionalism and things that are happening. It cuts me to some degree when there's a move of God in places around this globe and across the planet, and everybody packs up and wants to go and see what this revival's doing. They've been to Toronto, and they've been to Florida, and they've been to Korea, and everywhere that there was a sniff of God doing something, people went over there. Wow, wow. Look, what God's doing in Toronto, Toronto might have needed. I don't think Toronto's blessing is Gisborne's blessing. I don't think Toronto's blessing is Australia's blessing. I don't think Azusa Street's blessing, even though there was a mighty outpouring of God's Spirit, should be looked back on as being, wow, that's the way it has to happen. There has to be an Aitken Street blessing right here in the middle of Gisborne, amen? There has to be a Baringo Road blessing right where we live. There has to be a street blessing right where you live. We need to see what God wants to do in our lives, in our day, in our place, in our framework of home. Like you will be witness to me, Jesus told them first where? Jerusalem, their home. Judea, their surrounding area. Samaria, their neighboring area. Then the uttermost parts of the world. But where did it start? Home is where the heart is, if you want to put it that way. Our hearts need to be in preparation for God, so that we can be the people He wants us to be and all that He wants us to be. And I'm convinced that God is saying to us today, through what happened here in this service this morning, there was a presence of God's Spirit that I believe was a heart-changing presence. A heart-changing time. Just drinking in and saying, "Lord Jesus, fill me, mold me, make me, break me, and let my life be enveloped by You." I think there was an enveloping of God's Spirit there today. A washing, a cleansing. And I don't know if you felt that same empowering that I felt there, but just being there, drinking in God's presence, was like a refreshing cleansing. It was like an ever-flowing intake of God's anointing, saying, "Hey, I'm at work. I'm at work. I'm at work. God, everything that I am and everything that I ever was or ever will be, I surrender to You, Lord, because I just want You. Just want You." That's what I felt. That's what I felt. So many songs that I thought of while I was at the front there that were older songs. Mel goes nuts at me because I'm an old song freak. But I love some of the old songs, "Change My Heart, O God." Wow. "Change My Heart, O God." They were songs of prayer, songs of dedication, songs of reconsecration that we need to get hold of again and just cry out to God constantly. Ask and keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking, not keep on knocking. I'm not satisfied with the condition of my life 24/7, are you? Huh? There's things there that I think afterwards, what on earth did I do that for? What a knucklehead. How did I get myself into that jam? Or why did I think that? Or how come I said this? You know, the mouth speaks, before the brain's in gear half the time. You know why? And yet I know better. But I have to say, God, I'm just sorry. And I seek and keep on seeking and ask and keep on asking and knock and keep on knocking. And I'm finding it's getting more and more frequent as my heart is being changed into what God wants it to be. That's so amazing. I don't know that I've experienced such an intense work of God in my life going over such a period of time as what I've noticed over these last few weeks. And I pray you're all going the same way. And I pray that God's speaking to you all along those same lines and moving you along the same direction. Because I believe God's preparing us for what he wants to do throughout this land. Not just in the church. The church is fine. The church is God's. We come in here and we're pretty well honky-dory. We're insular. We've got to go out there and face facts. We've got to go out there and mix with the unbelievers. We've got to go out there and listen to all the nonsense they talk and the foul language and their voices and everything that's out there that we have to constantly deal with every day. And if we haven't put ourselves in a place here where God's got his whole life embracing ours and ours embracing him, that place out there crushes. It's what it's there for. It's what it's designed to do. We need to stand up in the authority of God's word. I love what the word says in one of the scriptures. I know I had it down here. Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? He that walks uprightly and worketh righteousness. What does it mean to work righteousness? And speaks the truth in his heart. You know, in the old covenant, they would have thought obeying the law and all the things that they had to do was working righteousness. But I believe in our day and our age under the new covenant, working righteousness is to have an outworking of who we are in Christ, fully functional in our everyday life. Most Christians don't even know who they are in Christ, much less know how to work it. You know, it says in Hebrews, he that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. They've got no idea who they are in Christ. Oh, I'm born again. Praise God. I'm just following Jesus. And they've got all this nice Christianese stuff for the being born again and whatever have you. But they need to grow on where it says strong meat belongs to them who are full age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to learn to discern good and evil, to know what is going on around them, to see what the devil is up to and to see what God is up to and to know how to act appropriately in every situation. That's the thing God wants us into. Without that, we are milky babes, unskillful in the word of righteousness. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. No deceptive in there. No honoring God with our lips, but our hearts far from him, wandering off on other things and tangents and thoughts and what we want to do and our own aspirations. We need to die to self, be crucified with Christ. Matt, what you said there was so true, you know. Yet I live, nevertheless, not I, but, well, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live in, through, by, and because of the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, I love that. At his invitation, we come to him. What a privilege. What an honor. What an amazing, amazing God we serve. Can we sing that song? Lord, I come to you. Can you find that, Matt? Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed. What's it in?